Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Apologetics on member-supported Restoration Radio. I'm your host, Phil Stone, and once again on this episode, I'm joined by our guest, Bishop Donald Sanborn, Rector of Most Holy Trinity Seminary in Brooksville, Florida. Welcome back to you, my lord.
Thank you.
In the Apologetics show, we're using the text, The Defense of the Catholic Church, by Francis X. Doyle, S.J., and this show is in three parts on the primacy of Peter. The last show, following on from a two-part series demonstrating the divinity of Christ, outlined Christ's teaching body, the Church, in that it was instituted to spread his doctrine to all men without error. In this show, following the logical order we've come to understand with the science of apologetics, we'll see that our Lord gave the apostles power to rule and sanctify men, and very importantly, he promised one man primary jurisdiction, St. Peter the Apostle. In the secular world, every organization needs a boss, the chief, the grand poobah, the head honcho. If it doesn't, it collapses into chaos, and the Church is no different. As you said plenty of times before, my lord, the family has the father as the head, companies have their CEOs, armies have generals, even countries have presidents and prime ministers. So why should the Church be any different? It's just logical. It follows that logical order of the things as we've come to appreciate in the Church and apologetics. We're covering lessons 37 and 38, starting on page 173 of the text. Now on to lesson 37, entitled Christ Also Gave the Apostles the Power to Rule and Sanctify Men. Now we're really starting to take the fight up to the Protestants, as this is something that they wouldn't be seen dead agreeing to, let alone acknowledging the position of the Pope. Wouldn't you say, my lord?
It is the greatest single obstacle for the Protestant. The biggest, what the Protestant cherishes the most is his independence of judgment, his what we might call freedom of thought. No one is going to tell him what to think. No one is going to tell him what the Bible says. He's free to make all of those decisions himself. And he cherishes that as a very, very precious thing. And the idea of saying, well, there is a man who has the power to tell me what I should think about God and binds me to it, and whereby I would be condemned if I don't believe it, is the biggest hurdle, I think, for the Protestant.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really, if he understands that and accepts that as part of the message of Christ, then really the rest falls in. Then he'll give up his Protestant doctrines. He'll say, okay, I'll accept the Church as the rule of faith, and everything else is overcome. I mean, he already accepts, in most cases, Christ as God. He accepts sacred scripture as the word of God. Mm. But it's that idea that there should be some doctrinal authority that he must submit his mind to, which I think is the biggest single we might say cross for the Protestant, what is most difficult for him to accept. So, yes, this will very much touch some Protestant sensitivity.
Yes, it was for me when I converted. That was the brainwashing that I'd come under, and it's still the biggest hurdle when it comes to my Protestant parents. You know, I still remember them when I told them that I was now a Catholic. Saying, "Oh, so you're going to worship some guy in Rome?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the sentiment. And probably the second obstacle is the doctrine of Our Lady.
Yes, that is a big obstacle. They don't understand it. They see Our Lady as an honorable woman. Something like when the Queen Mother was alive, you know, she was an honorable woman. Everyone thought that she was wonderful. Although somebody, I think one Englishman told me that she had a very nasty character. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. But I mean, at least the perception was that she was this wonderful old lady.